there are certain prophecies that have to be fulfilled in order for Jesus to come back. And one of them, and I declare this often, one of them is that the whole earth, God said through Moses and through other prophets, that the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. And remember a few messages ago that I preached that the glory of God is already in us, because the glory of God is going to be revealed in us, it says in Ephesians 3:21-ish. And that means that in order for the whole earth to be filled with God's glory, that means that the whole earth is going to have real, legitimate, righteous, Bible-believing, sign-manifesting, glory-producing Christians in every square inch of this globe. Praise Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus Christ. And we're the generation that's going to kick them out the door. Amen. I still got a shirt that Crossroads gave me that says on the back of it, the church has left the building. I love wearing that sucker out, because every time I'm out, I'm like, church has left the building. Here I am. Anybody need church? I'm right here. No, we're okay. Thanks, preacher. Amen. So, we're going to be filling the whole earth with the glory of God, and I believe that the glory is the revealed, manifested understanding of God's goodness. And so, us preaching on heart and on love and on the healing, which is a manifestation of the goodness of God, these are the things. You know, I'm just not up here coming up with nifty little titles to put on sermons so I can send them out to, you know, YouTube or wherever, iTunes, and just so people will be floating through the World Wide Web and say, oh, look at that pretty title. Let me listen to Mrs. Man. We're doing incredibly important things. Your heart was so important that Jesus Christ died for it. Amen. Your healing was so important that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, took stripes on His back that shredded the flesh off of Him so that you, by His stripes, could be healed. That's important. That's important. And for somebody to deny that, or to walk away from that and say, well, you know, I'll take my eternal salvation, you can have all the rest. That means Jesus died in vain. And I'm not going to be the guy that's going to show up at the gates and say, well, you know, I guess you died for a lot of stuff, but I'm only taking one. You know, don't you know that there's a tear in heaven every time somebody says that? And I'm not going to make anybody up there cry. Amen. Jesus is going to wipe away all tears. We're going to believe Him. And so it's important for us to grasp these truths, to take these promises. It's real easy. Real, real, real easy as Christians to not believe anything. Just believe in your eternal security and then just go on down the road and be like everybody else. That's real easy. In fact, the world wants you to do that. You know what? Don't create any waves. Don't stress anybody out. Don't cause anybody else to think about anything that they got to deal with. Just go down the road and just leave everybody alone. In fact, society tells our kids, they tell in the church, I hear preachers preach about it. I hear the politicians talking about it. Let's just all get along. Yeah, we should have thought about that before you all strung Jesus up. But you started it. We're going to finish it. I mean, if you wouldn't have strung my Lord up, maybe we could get along. But you strung Him up. So I'm fighting back. That wasn't right. It's time for justice to prevail. Amen. So go against the Lord. Go against the flow. Go against the flow. Amen. Make some people turn their head and cock a little sideways at you. Say some things that make people get out of their box. Challenge the darkness. And chase it with the light. Praise God. Amen. So in the heart, this is why it's incredibly important, because out of the heart is where all of these things flow. The goodness of God flows from your heart. It can come through your fingers. It says in, I think it's the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, that it said that Paul laid his hands on cloths and the anointing went into the cloths and they mailed them or sent them out to people. I guess they didn't have mail back then. But they sent them out to people, and it says that evil spirits departed and people got healed from cloths, which means that the anointing is tangible. But it still came from the inside. God's power is a spiritual power. It can manifest itself in a natural way, but it's still a spiritual power that comes out of your heart. Your heart is the well. Your heart is the gate. And tonight we're going to talk about the circumcision of the heart, because it's important that we understand that our heart has to be prepared for the use of God and His power. Amen. So I'm going to probably do this at the beginning of every message. Hey, what's up, family? I'm going to probably do this at the beginning of every message so that we understand, so we kind of lock in on why it's important for us to be talking about the heart. So in Proverbs chapter 4, I think it's verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. who is the understood subject of that sentence? Anybody know English grammar, laws, and rules? Kay does. Who is the understood subject of the sentence that says, keep thy heart with all diligence? You. Me. That's important because a lot of folks pray to God about that. God, please keep my heart. God, protect me. God, do this. God, do that. And right here it says, you keep your heart with all diligence. You know, God's very diligent. Amen. Jesus hung on the cross till death. That's diligence. God parted the Red Sea till every Jew got across. That's diligent. God's diligent. It's not whether we're waiting on God to be diligent or not. God is always faithful. God is always diligent. God always comes through. We are the ones that need to align ourselves with godly diligence. And so you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. This is how important your heart is. No heart, no life. That's where God meets you. Right there. Amen. Folks travel all over the countryside looking for glory clouds and gold dust and people passing out on the floor and people jumping pews and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not talking against that. It may sound like it, but I'm not. If you want to jump a pew, go find a pew jumping church. If you want gold dust, go find a gold dust church. If you want a glory cloud, go find a glory cloud church. But we're just going to meet God in our hearts right here. And if you get a glory cloud and you get some dust and you jump a pew, and you know, praise God for all that. I'm not saying if that doesn't come on you, don't do it. But I'm saying, if you want a physical manifestation, you're missing a really incredibly important part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from the outside in, it comes from the inside out. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. If you're lacking life, then your heart has been emptied. And you need to fill her up. Praise God. Pull on up to the gospel gas station and get you some. Praise Jesus. Get you some good news. Fill that heart right up. If your heart, anybody ever suffer from a broken heart? Anybody ever feel as if their heart's just being trampled by somebody? You keep your heart. Don't let some other person come in there and mess with your heart. It belongs to Jesus. He is the Lord of your heart. Now, you can offer your heart to other people and they'll stomp it. I promise you. I promise you. Scout's honor. They'll trample it. Don't offer people your heart. You offer it to God and let God tell you where to take it. And then you can go ahead and get rid of a lot of those problems that come across in your life. I think it was Andrew Womack one time. He said he was listening to another preacher preach, and he said that his other preacher said one time, he said that he believes that the devil sits around and takes notes watching us how we destroy our lives. A lot of people want to blame the devil for all the mess that's in our lives. And he said, I really believe that the devil sits around and taking notes on how badly we're jacking up our own lives. You know, we do that. We are really hard on ourselves. We do so many unintelligent... I'm trying to change my terminology a little bit. I'm trying to be more professional from the pulpit. We do very unintelligent things sometimes with our heart, with our actions, with the people around us that we love, that love us. And then we wonder why we reap the things that we reap. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a gal soweth, that shall they also reap. If you sow to the flesh corruption, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit life everlasting, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. We need to start sowing in the Spirit. Start reaping in the Spirit. Start putting things in your heart that really mean something. This is where I would normally break off and get on TV and radio and all that other stuff. I'm not going to go there. Y'all know what to do. You're grown-ups, most of y'all in here. You know, you've been around long enough. This isn't your first rodeo. This isn't your first sermon. You know the right things to do with your heart, and God checks you every time you're not. Amen. If you're going to put it in there, don't be mad when it comes back out. This principle of sowing and reaping 30, 60, and 100-fold works on the reverse side, too. You sow a dandelion seed, what do you get? Lots of dandelions. Lots of dandelions. I was complaining about dandelions last year to my father. I said, man, what's up with these dandelions? He said, does your neighbor have dandelions? I said, yeah. He said, your other neighbor have dandelions? I said, yeah. He said, then you got dandelions. I said, but I put the chemical thing down and I did this, you know, the sprayer, the walker thing and the stuff, and I watered it in and cut it and did follow the rules just right, and it said it'll get rid of dandelions. He said, if your neighbor's got dandelions, you've got dandelions. You know what that means? I need to change my neighbors. Amen. That's good stuff. Now, we're talking spiritual. Obviously, I love my neighbors. I'm good. Try to stay good on good relationships with all my neighbors. But I'm saying, but yeah. Amen. But I'm saying, spiritually, if you're reaping a bunch of dandelions, if you're getting a bunch of weeds in your lawn, man, check your friends. Your friends might be sowing them seeds in there. Well, you know, I mean, I can't just go dumping my friends. Yeah, you're right. Go on, go to hell with them. Oh, careful. Why you got to be so black and white? I don't know. The gospel's black and white. Good is good. Evil is evil. They're either putting good stuff in you or they're killing you. They might not be doing it on purpose, but they're still doing it. They might be doing it by ignorance, but, you know, if you die by ignorance or if you die on purpose, you're still dead. Dead is dead. Well, I wonder what happens if I stick my pocket knife in this outlet. Y'all laugh. I did that when I was a kid. Amen. I got my totem chip. I was a Boy Scout. My uncle was Eagle Scout. My big brother was an Eagle Scout. Everybody in our family was Boy Scout. And so I got my totem chip. Anybody don't know what a totem chip is? A totem chip gives you the right to carry a pocket knife if you're a Boy Scout. You cannot have a pocket knife until you have a totem chip. When you have a totem chip, then you can have a pocket knife. So I got a totem chip and I got a pocket knife. And I went home and I sat down in our little trailer underneath the bunk beds, and there was an outlet, and I said, I wonder what happens if I stick this in there, because it looks like it fits. Anybody want to finish the story for me? Amen. I got curly hair. Praise God. Wrecked my pocket knife, too. Just got that sucker. Wrecked her up. Amen. You know what? I could have died. Amen. Well, I'm glad y'all are. I could have died that day. You know, I was an innocent kid. I wasn't trying to do nothing wrong. I wasn't trying to wreck nothing. I wasn't trying to burn the house down. I wasn't trying to stab nobody. I wasn't trying to hurt a single soul. I just thought something looked like it fit in something else, and it didn't fit right. Amen. I could have killed me. Whether you die by ignorance or whether you die on purpose, you're dead as dead. If your friends are trying to kill you with their words, whether they're doing it by ignorance or whether they're doing it on purpose, man, cut them loose. Dear Jesus. Go ahead and offend them a little bit. Maybe they'll change their ways. And if they don't change their ways, don't let them drag you to hell with them. Don't let them wreck your life as long as they're wrecking their life. If they want to wreck their life, let them. Give them an out. Give them a safety net. Give them a parachute. But, man, don't jump off the plane with them. Well, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Well, should we put the parachute on? No, we'll just jump. That's not very smart. Don't do that. It's the same thing with all these other influences in our life. If your heart is being caused damage and it's repetitive and it's over, I'm not talking about the onesie-twosies, because we should be strong, mature people. We should be able to stand up for ourselves and take the power of light that's in us and shed it on the darkness and it should flee. But I'm talking about repetitive, over and over, destructive lifestyle choices that we continually make. I'm thinking of somebody right now that oftentimes they have bad relationship choices over and over and over. And you guys probably thinking the same people. And you know, you stand out there from a third person point of view and you're watching the thing take place and you say, well, there's a train wreck coming. You had a train wreck last week. You had a train wreck 6 months ago with that other one. And you had this other train wreck with this other person. It's just over and over and over. Can I help you? Oh, no, this one's going to work out fine. Wham! And then they come need help. I mean, they cry on you and snot on your shirt, and then you get them past it, and then they decide, right? They determine, I'm not going to make a bad relationship choice again. Amen. Praise God. I'm with you. Let's pray. All right, let's pray. Amen. Lord, we believe that we're not going to make bad relationships. Amen. All right, where are you going? I'm going down to the bar, find me a fella. What? There's lots of guys down there. All right. You know what? But we do the same thing. You know, that's just a wide open story, but we do the same thing. You know what? I know this is going to hurt. I'm going to do it anyway. You do that. I do that. We do that. You say stupid things. Just this week, I said something dumb to Kay. I had to go and repent to her. I knew I was saying it. It didn't slip out. Come on now, we're grown up enough to know that. Stuff don't just come out like, oh, wow, I don't know where that came from. It came from our heart. See? I'm holier than Jim. Amen. Praise God. Be like Corinthians. It says you shouldn't judge yourselves among yourselves or compare yourselves to yourselves because you're not wise. So I'm not holier than Jim. Maybe a little bit. But we do this. We know what we're doing. We walk headlong into it. And then when it smarts us, we're like, ow, what happened there? Oh, yeah, that was dumb. Lord, I'm sorry. And you know what God does? You dumb kid, wham, kick your ear down. No. Oh, you. It happens every time, sweetie. Come on, get up. I'll carry you for a while. I'll get you past this. Here, how about we put some good people in your life? Thanks, Lord. Appreciate that. All right, now stay with them this time. Because they're going to appear at the, when the road takes a curve, they're going to curve right, and you're going to tend to want to curve left. Don't do that. Stay with them. Curve right. All right, Lord. Amen. And then you get past that curve in the road, and you get going down the road, and you get comfortable on a straightaway, hanging out with your new Christian pals. Everything's cool. God's moving in your life. God's blessing you. Things are working out. It's never been better. And you come to another turning road, you say, I got this one, guys. No, don't walk. Oh, that was a cliff. Amen. And you fall down, and you break something, you get all scratched up and road rash. And then Jesus comes in again, because he's so awesome, and he swoops you up in his big, strong arms. He dusts you off, heals you up, go put you back with the friends, say, okay, now, we've been here, honey. How about we do it right? All right, Lord. And, you know, we shouldn't have to bump through the roads of life and do that, falling from cliff to cliff to cliff to cliff. It'd be all right. Just stick with the folks that are going. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you know somebody's following the Lord, man, get on their bumper. Hang on. Go skitching. Remember skitching? Go skitching. Skitching, I think we invented it. If we didn't, I'm going to claim it anyway. I'm being recorded, right? I'm being recorded, so therefore, according to the laws of the land, I'm inventing it. Skitching is, your buddy's got a rear-wheel drive vehicle of some kind, and you tied a rope to the trunk, and then it snows real good, and then you get out in your old shoes, and you get the end of the rope, and you drive around town, and hopefully you avoid trees. Amen. And you drive real fast, and the cops are, you know, when it's snowing, the cops are, I probably shouldn't say all this stuff. I can edit it later. Good point, Craig. All right, so I'll edit this out later for those of you that know. So what you do is you go around a bunch of corners, and, you know, if you're hanging on to the rope, you go skitching. We just called it skitching. Amen. That's fun. Until you hit something. Or until something hits you. You know, because when you go around a corner and another car is going around a corner, they're just not expecting some stupid kid on a rope behind that other car, and wham! Remember that cliff I was talking to you about? Yeah, that was one of those cliffs. Amen. Thank God for 18-year-old bones. They work good. Praise Jesus. That was not wise. We should be wiser than that. If our friends want to go skitching, you should probably say, no, casts really are not very fun. And hospitals are really expensive nowadays. Amen. Make better choices. When the Lord's leading you down a different path, go down a different path. Be grown up. It's all right to say no. Especially parents, listen to me. No is okay. Your kids actually kind of want it sometimes. They want to know that there's boundaries. They want to know there's rules. They want to know that you're going to be the same. It's okay. Especially if you're protecting them. You know, if I would have said, Mom, can I go skitching? Which I never did. But had I said, Mom, can I go skitching, and I explained what she was, she would have said, oh, dear Jesus, no. So the answer would have been no. So I didn't ask her. But parents, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to friends. It's okay to say no to people in your life. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Nobody else can. I can't come protect your heart. I can give you clues. I can preach to you. I can give you the Word of God. I can show you examples. I can testify. I can witness of the goodness of God. But I can't do it for you. And here's the other shocker. Jesus can't either. He said Jesus can't. He said, protect your heart. He's not going to violate His own word and come into your life and make you do a bunch of stuff that you don't want to do. He gave you a free will. He said, protect your heart, so protect your heart. Do what the Lord says. You know what He'll do? When you start protecting your heart, He shows right up. And He adds your influence, and He adds your exertion and your diligence, and then He infuses it with His power and His protection, and it's protected right. It's not just based on your power, but you're meeting the Lord in His power. Protect your heart with all diligence. Praise God. All right, so that was all the intro. So in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. These are important scriptures. These are foundational scriptures for this series on the heart. So we are supposed to protect our heart diligently. We also need to understand, as we think, Proverbs 23:7. We also need to understand, as we think in our heart, so are we. Now, I want you to get this, all right? If the Bible does not say, as you think, so are you. Okay? It's very important that we get that, because I hear people say that all the time. Is that your confession? Is that your... You know, and I get it. They're doing it right. But I need you to understand this. It's as you think in your heart. In your heart. Not a flippant thought out of your meathead. Not somebody who just curses you with some stupid thing that they call you or say to you. That doesn't change your thought. That's just a surface thought. You know, those things come and go. It's like bugs on a windshield. Some of them smear, some of them move. Amen. But as you think in your heart, you know, the heart is the part of you that you know, that knows you. That's the part where your spirit and your soul come together. As you think in your heart, so are you. This is why, you know, confessions are very, very powerful. God created the heavens and the earth with words. And then He turned around and He gave Adam and Eve the exact same power. Exactly. Same power. Exactly. And they used it against the planet. They cursed the planet. We have the same creative power that God has at creation, that God has today. The difference is now He put a check valve on it. He made it infused to your heart. It's not just coming out your lips. I can't say, podium be gold. Still would. What's the problem? My confession didn't work. No, because I didn't confess that on my heart. I really don't believe that I'm going to turn a podium into gold by saying it. It didn't come out of my heart. I have no promise. I have no word of God to stand on to turn this podium gold. It takes heart confessions. But here's the thing. If you repetitively start confessing stuff, guess what you're going to train your heart to do? Remember I talked about last week your heart being a well? You start dumping all that junk down your well, it'll come out. You get black water. I wonder what happened. Amen. So protect your mouth, because your mouth is the way that you release things from your heart. But this is why it's important for us to know that it's out of our heart. You have to train your heart who you are. This is why people don't believe that they're righteous. I can stand up here and preach that you are the righteous. I can quote scriptures to you, multiple scriptures straight out of the Bible that says that you are now righteous. Right now. And there's just a bunch of folks that you can say it until you're blue in the face. It's not down here. It's just ricocheting off the side of their melons. You are righteous. Until you sit there and you sit in your chair in your house and you say, I am righteous. Your word says that you became sin who knew no sin so that I might be made the righteousness of God. God's kind of righteousness. Lord, help me get that. Because I know that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. I know that the blessing of the Lord is on the heads of the righteous. I know that there's an incredible number of benefits for me to be righteous with you. And I need to get this. So help me. That's what we call meditating the Word. So you sit there and you say, all right, Lord, show me. Show me. Show me righteous. Train my heart. Show my heart what righteousness looks like. So that I can change the way that I thinketh in my heart. If you can change the way you thinketh in your heart, then you can change who you are. This isn't self-help, this is God-help. Amen. This is the Word changing things that are actually not even true. This is exactly what the devil does to you. He just does it in reverse. He'll come up to you and say, you sorry thing. You know you did that thing yesterday. You didn't read the Bible enough. You don't deserve nothing from God. Yeah, you're right. I didn't read it enough. I probably don't deserve nothing from God. Trick ya. Tim just said it. You don't get anything by works, do you? The blessing of Abraham doesn't come on you by works. The blessing of Abraham comes on you because God is love. He's just going to give it to you because you've been made righteous, because Jesus was made a curse for us. And so therefore, He created a way for the blessings of Abraham to be poured down on us. Amen. Man, I hope that's sinking in. I hope that's getting way down in there. As you thinketh in your heart, so are you. If you're not thinking that, then you've been tricked. You've been deceived. The devil is a liar, and he will lie. He's really good at it. And he'll keep doing it until you believe it. So what do? You got to counteract the lies. You got to take the truth and start pumping that into your heart. You take the truth, put it in your heart, and then as you thinketh, changes. And as it changes, you understand, hey, you know what? I don't have to put up with sickness in my family. Praise God. Stupid devil. You already been defeated once. Huh. So I don't have to try to earn forgiveness, or I don't have to try to earn healing. I don't have to try to do something to stir up healing. I've already been healed. He's trying to steal it. Ha! Caught you, jerk. Get out in Jesus' name. Don't ever come back. And then you hear a whimper and a scream and a bunch of pitter-patter of little feet that run off. Amen. I got so many testimonies that go along this line. I'll give you one. This is recent. This is only a few months ago. We were badly struggling, Kay and I, with some stuff. And I went and, it had gotten to basically a stop point where we were not going to be able to go forward until something happened. And I went and met one of my preacher buddies. Praise God. Praise God for men and women of God in your life. Praise God. Praise God. And I went and the subject kind of came up. It was an accidental reason that the subject came up. And he's like, dude, you need to fix this, and here's how you fix it. And he quoted to me the scriptures. I said, I know all them scriptures. He said, well, I don't care if you know them. You better do them. You know, and God bless him for being a man and telling me what I needed to hear. God bless him. Praise God. Praise God, he was man up. He, oh, what if I say something and offend Steve? You know what? Tell me the truth. Offend me. Please. Help me. Man. Praise God. So I changed. I repented. Y'all might even remember me preaching about it. I just said, man, I spent 6 hours repenting the other day. And nothing, not a single thing in the natural realm changed. Not one thing. The only thing that changed was my heart and as I thinketh. It's the only thing that changed. Not one iota of one piece of physical evidence changed. Nothing. For days. And then got a little piece of one. And then another little piece of one. And then another little piece of one. And then poof, a big piece. And then another big piece. And then another one. The only thing that changed was my head, my heart, my thought process. That's the only thing that changed. Nothing else in the physical world changed at all. Nothing. This is how it works. You change the way you believe yourself to be, and then you will be who you believe yourself to be. Praise God. Yes, sir.
I don't really like
like these stories about my mom, sir. A little blonde, my mama. You keep your stories to yourself. You got a bonus. You got a blonde with kids. Amen. You got a bonus. Bible says you're blessed if you got your quiver full. Me and Tim done filled up your quiver. Yeah, a couple of times. Amen. All right, so Proverbs 23:7, as you think it is, I want to highlight some things here. And Proverbs 23 is an important chapter in the Bible. It talks a lot about the heart. So I'm going to go Proverbs 23:7, then Proverbs 23:12. It says that you can apply thine heart. Apply thine heart. You know, that's important. A lot of people think that their heart is this this puppet, this American, whatever the thing is that's on a string. A marionette, that's it. Got it. Marionette. Amen. Praise God. I got the mind of Christ. That came out of my heart, not my head. I got a marionette. Everybody thinks their heart is a marionette, and it's got strings on it, right? Either God's controlling your heart or the devil's controlling your heart. Just a marionette, just a little puppet dancing around depending on who's got the strings. You know who's got the strings? You do! Amen. It's your heart. God gave it to you. It's yours. Do what you want to with it. Amen. Control the strings. Praise God. Apply. You can apply thine heart. You know what that means? That means you can put your heart to work on something. Apply thine heart. And specifically under instruction. Praise God. All right, verse 17. Let not thine heart. You know, you can protect your heart, but you can also let not thine heart. You know what that means? You can tell your heart no. You can bring your heart back away from a bad situation. You can back off. Let not thine heart. Man, that's important. This is all in the same chapter. Praise God. All right, I think it's 19. Yeah, 19. You can guide thine heart in the way. Praise God. You can guide your heart in the way. You know what that means? That's kind of the picture that Solomon's actually drawing up here is like when a man would lead the cattle or the sheep, like a shepherd leads the sheep, how they would lead their heart. This is lead your heart. You can actually lead your heart. You can guide your heart in the way. Praise God. That's important to know. Sometimes we think our heart's just on its own. It's got its own car and it's got its own keys and its own gas money. It just does whatever it wants. It don't work that way. You can take your heart by the hand and say, come on, we're going to get closer to the heart of God, and that's just what we're going to do. Amen. Guide your heart. All right, verse 26. This is a good one. Praise God. You can give your heart. My son, give me thine heart. Praise God. You can give your heart to God or to people or to the devil. You can choose. Praise God. You know, some people are thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. I want it. If you don't want to give it to someone bad, don't give it to someone bad. Remember we talked about protecting your heart? Give it to the people that deserve it. Give it to people you know aren't going to hurt you. Give it to God. He's faithful. He's a good God. He can take it. You can give your heart away. You can actually, it says, Paul says this. I want to say, it's either Acts 17 or Acts 9. No, it's Acts like 26. He says he was going to go into Jerusalem, and everybody knew there was multiple prophecies that if he went into Jerusalem that he was going to be killed or worse. And so he was leaving, I think it was Ephesus, and everybody gathered around him, and they were crying. It's like, don't go, Paul. Don't go. Don't go. We don't want you to go. He's like, what mean ye, excuse me, what mean ye to cry and to break mine heart? I am not only willing to go to Jerusalem, but to go anywhere it takes it for my Lord. For what he's done for me, I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything. But he makes that statement, what mean ye to cry and to break mine heart? You know, he was out there. He was connected with these folks. They were in such a covenant relationship that their yearnings and their desire for him to not go and die was literally breaking his heart. But he knew he had to go. But man, how great is that? How many people do you know can circle up around you and to pray and to believe God, and your heart is literally affected for the kingdom of God being around those people and them desiring good things for you? Man, that's unique. Praise God. We got a unique church, right? Amen. You can bundle up with anybody around here. We'll pray for you. We'll believe God with your heart on purpose. We don't have any ulterior motives. Amen. Nobody needs anything from you. We just want to love you. We want to give. Everybody in this room, man, I know y'all. You're good folks. You're on purpose about this stuff. Nobody's in here tricking anybody. Nobody's trying to set anybody up. This is the real deal. You know, get you some people like that. Get around some folks that all they want to do is want to see your life better. They want to take nothing from you. That's where you give your heart out. Then you can grow your heart. If I attach my heart to Tim and Stacy's heart, and then they attach their heart to Cindy's heart, and they attach their heart to Garrett's heart, and then to Mom's heart. And, you know, you can get a bigger heart that pumps better. And that thumps, and you can feel it. Yeah. Amen. You need to give your heart away. But make sure you give it away the right way. You're never going to grow if you don't give your heart away. But if you give it away the wrong way, they're going to take it and smash it. Get you some friends like Paul's got. Don't leave. Stay with us. We'll talk about Jesus till he comes back. Amen. All right, the next chapter is chapter 24, verse 2. It says, "For their heart studieth." That's important. 24:2. "For their heart studieth." Your heart can study. I know if you're under 18, that ain't a positive word. If you're over 18, it's a real positive word. Because it's something that you probably know you need to do a little bit more of. You can make your heart study. I've done this. I've actually said that to before. I've actually sat at my desk and I said, "All right, heart, you're getting this. We ain't leaving till you get it." Amen. Tell your heart. Remember, we can guide your heart. You can take your heart. You can train your heart. You can instruct your heart. Now you can make your heart study. Your heart studies. You know, here's another thing, too. Your heart studies whether you're making it do it or not. That's a big old fat, hairy, deep statement right there. Your heart is studying whether you've put it to it or not. Your heart is never idle. Never. Never. Praise God. I mean, the same thing with your natural heart. Is your natural heart ever idle? Yeah, you'd be dead. Praise God. Amen. Your heart cannot be idle. Your heart, your spiritual heart is pumping. It's just, what is it pumping? If it's pumping life-sustaining blood, then it's affecting change in your life. If it's pumping sewage, garbage, what's the end result of that? Your heart is always studying. Your heart is always trying to produce. It's just like the ground. You know, Jesus correlated the heart and the ground. And I'm going to do this later on in some other message. But, you know, the ground is always growing things. If you take a... I did this before. I was working in my yard at... I was working in one of my rent houses yard in Texas. And there was something that was sticking up. And I kind of bumped into it. Well, I tried to pull on it. It was not coming up. And so I ended up digging around and kind of, now I'm curious. Now I got to get it up. If anybody's like me, you know, once you like, what I should have done is just knocked it off and walked away. But no, I got to know now. So anyway, I started digging it up and it was an old like farm implement thing. And it wasn't that big. It was only, I don't know, a couple feet big. But anyway, I pulled it up and I didn't even know what it was because the ground had literally ate it. You guys know what I'm talking about. You pull something out of the ground and it's old and decrepit and rusted and it's got holes eaten through. The ground tries to grow even metal. The ground tries to grow rocks. The ground tries to, right? You put anything in the ground and the ground is going to start working on it. Where does sand come from? That's right. Amen. Dirt is, all it is stuff that fell into the ground and dirt created dirt out of it. That's what dirt is. It's something that fell on the ground and dirt made it dirt. Amen. Your heart's the same way. Your heart's like, if you put something in there, your heart immediately goes to work. All right, let's build it. Let's grow it. Let's make it. Let's do it. Let's go. If it's a bad seed, you know, your ground, if you go out into the ground and you dig your garden up and you take a seed of a tomato plant and you take a seed of a nightshade, isn't that the poisonous one? And you put them both in the ground's not going to say, no, don't put the bad one in. The ground's going to do what the ground does. It's going to grow them. So you're going to have a tomato plant come up right here, nightshade come up right here. Life and death. Deuteronomy 30:19. Behold, I place before you life and death, blessing and evil. Choose life. Choose the seeds that go in your heart. Praise God. Your heart's going to grow that stuff. If you're not manifesting the goodness of God, if you're not getting these things to manifest in your life, put different seeds down there. Praise God. Your heart is always working. It's always studying. And in this context, for their heart studied destruction, he's talking about a foolish person. A foolish person is always sitting around thinking about how they're going to die, how they're going to get destroyed, how they're going to lose all their money, how they're going to lose their spouse, how they're going to lose their family, how they're going to... You know what happens? They end up losing their money. They're losing their spouse. What happened? Your heart studied it. You worked it all out. You planned it. You planned your own destruction, your own demise. Praise God. You can turn that around. Why don't you plan your life? I do this all the time. All the time. I'll come in this church house and I'll walk around. That's great. I'll walk around here and I'll pray in tongues. You know what I'm imagining? I'm imagining this wall gone. I'm imagining there being a little stage right there. I imagine all these pews turned sideways. I imagine them all full up of people in here just getting the Word of God in their hearts and being really excited about it. I'm imagining the speakers pounding. I'm imagining people praising Jesus. I'm imagining people coming in the house on Wednesday getting healed. I'm imagining us raising the dead. I'm just walking around. I'm imagining. I'm seeing it in my mind. I'm seeing it in my heart. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I'm planting the roads. I'm planting the roads. You know what? If you want to build a building, what do? You get a blueprint. You have some guy sit down with his imagination and say, okay, how big you want it? 30 feet. All right? You want a flat roof or a bent roof? Amen. That's what you need to do with your heart. Your heart's going to always study. Put the right stuff in there for it to study. Have it study the right things. Amen. Acts 2:46. This is New Testament. And this is kind of, we're going to stay here for a second. Okay, for 11 seconds. Times 60 seconds. Acts 2:46 says, and the end of it says, that they were with singleness of heart. Now, this is talking about the first church. The first church. This is the brand new Book of Acts church. They just got all figured out, and they continuing daily with one accord. I could preach a month on this scripture. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were together at church. That's how the Book of Acts had a successful church. They were together at church. That seems too simple to be true. Yeah, that's how it worked. And breaking bread together from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. Anybody know what singleness means? Anybody got an NIV? You got NIV? Who's got NIV? Anybody got NIV? What you got, Lynn? 46. Yes, ma'am. Sincere. Your heart can be sincere. Singleness, if you look it up in the Strong's, it means simplicity. Simplicity. Remember how I tell you all the time the gospel's simple? You need people to help you misunderstand it. The gospel's simple. You know why the gospel has to be simple? Because your heart is simple. Your heart needs to be simplistic. Your heart needs single focus. This is why a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, is what it says in James. Because your heart's not meant to be double-minded. Your heart is meant to be single-minded. Be ye of one mind, it says in Ephesians. Of one mind. One mind, single of mind. Single of heart. You know, multitasking is not a positive trait. Those of you business professionals that think that you're accomplishing things by multitasking, you know what you're doing? You're doing multiple things badly. Yeah, all y'all laughing, you know why you're laughing? Because you do that. If you focus on 14 things, you're doing 14 things badly. You focus on one thing, and all of a sudden you do one thing really great. Amen. You know what I had to learn in ministry? You definitely can't multitask with people. You try to multitask with Tim. Chewed me out one time. We were going down the road. He said, man, we were talking on the phone the other day. And we were right in the middle of a conversation, and you turned and said something to Gunnar. Were you even listening to me? I'm like, oh, of course I was listening to you. Well, why would you do that? Well, I don't know. I've just always done that. If I'm on the phone, somebody walks up, I address them. He's like, well, don't do that. Well, okay, I won't. You can't multitask people. You have to be single. Kay actually does this to me now. Because I'm really wired that way. I am a one-track fella. Kay she's actually come to me before and she said, okay, are you looking at me? Okay, we're going to have dinner at 6:30. Okay, baby. Got it. She'll do that to me. She'll actually grab me by the cheeks and say, this is what we're going to do. She'll ask me, are you looking to me? Are you talking to anybody on the phone? Are you? No. Okay, so you're listening to me? Yes. Here's what we're going to do. Praise God. You know, God does us that way. Hey, God, are you saying anything to me? Hold on, let me turn the TV down a little bit. Are you hold on, the radio. Hold on, the kids are fighting. Hold on. You can't multitask with the voice of God either. You can't do it. Not effectively, no. Anything you want to, because you can only take your focus, it only goes one way. You're like a laser. God built you that way. You're light. And there's so many things we could do. We could correlate science so well with this stuff. You are light. God is light. You know what light is? Light is focused. That's what a laser is. It's focused light. That's what you are. You're focused. So if you take it and you put it through a prism and it spreads it out, you get a bunch of different colors. And it's pretty and all that kind of stuff. But the power of the laser is all of that focused in one light beam, one place, one time. If you want to burn a piece of paper, you can't do it with a prism. You do it with a magnifying glass. Right? Y'all burn ants when you were a kid, just like me. Don't look at me all holier than now. Don't be all pious on me. Stop it. You burn a bunch of ants. We know all about you. Amen. No, stop it. I seen you shrug your shoulders. You burn ants too. Vicky, the only one in the whole building, never burn an ant with a magnifying glass. And they stink, right? And you burn them? All right, never mind. I'm getting off the subject. Your heart is meant to be of single focus. You were created to operate. You were created to take God's light and magnify it. Oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Anybody remember that scripture? Oh, let us magnify the Lord together. Remember that one, Psalms? Well, that just sounds pretty. The psalmist just used a really pretty word. It fit good. It's a good magnifying word. No, it's purpose. Take the light of God and magnify it into a beam of light and attack your problem with it. Come magnify the Lord with me. You can't make God bigger. Who are you kidding? God's bigger than you could ever imagine already. It's not like you're going to magnify Him and make Him bigger. No, you're going to magnify Him and make Him bigger to you. You're going to focus God's power, focus God's light onto your problem and burn it up like a stinky ant. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Worst sermon ever. What'd your preacher preach about on Saturday night? Burning ants? Is he a Christian preacher or... Yeah, I think. Amen. So this is what needs to happen. The way that you focus your heart is that your heart has to have it has to be trimmed out properly. And the Bible word for this is circumcision. Circumcision comes from, well, the Latin word circumcision comes from the word circumcidre, which is Latin, but it comes from the Greek word, which is peritome. And the reason I'm telling you that is because circumcise is one of those words that didn't exist until the Bible had it in there, because there's no English word for it. Peritome is para and tome. Para means a circle, like a periscope. Para is like a circle, or it's an outline, or it's in a circular motion. And then tome is to cut. So it's to cut a circle, or to cut around. If you hand a kid a scissors and a picture with a dotted line around it, you say, cut the picture out, then they circumcise the picture. That's really what they're doing. Amen. That's important. If you ever anybody ever done models? You take a model and the model comes on this flat piece of plastic and it's got 1,000 parts on it. Well, you circumcise the parts off the little plastic Am I the only one who's done a model? Y'all looking at me like I'm lost my mind. Amen. We'll go back to the other one, cutting out a picture. I guess everybody's cut out a picture before. That's what you we Christianize all this stuff and we make it sound like it's supposed to have this weird spiritual significance. All this, these words were made to draw pictures in your heart so that you could focus your heart. Peritome, to cut around, is obviously what happens when a male child is circumcised at 8 months old or 8 days old, but that's not the only meaning that it has. To circumcise your heart, which it talks about in Deuteronomy chapter, I know it's in Deuteronomy 30, 16. Go to there, will you, Craig, please? Deuteronomy 30, 16. Or maybe it's the 6. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you, for those of you who don't know, Deuteronomy was a book that was written based upon a sermon, a singular sermon by Moses. 6. Oh, thanks, Craig. This is a sermon. Those of you that think that I'm long-winded, I ain't never preached to you as long as Deuteronomy. Moses sat down one day and basically preached Deuteronomy. And the scribes scribed it, which means they recorded it. And so anyway, this is in a part of Moses' sermon, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Up until this point, nobody had ever used circumcision outside of the physical thing that was done to a baby boy. So this was a brand new wrinkle in most people's cerebral cortex. You can circumcise your heart. In other words, you can cut the part out of your heart that was bad before you came to Jesus. Man, that's really incredibly important. God can actually circumcise the bad parts. You know, really what the picture that's being drawn, I was really meditating on this heart. I'm like, Lord, I need a better word. I need a better word picture to draw. And he said, a surgeon will circumcise a tumor out. I'm like, man, that's awesome. He said, a surgeon circumcises a cataract off. Leaves the rest of the good eye and just cuts the bad part off. If you're eating an apple and you got a knife and there's a wormhole, what do? You circumcise it. Pop the bad part off, keep eating. Amen. It's not some weird Christian, just like baptism. Baptism means dunk. Amen. Y'all are going to be Greek scholars before I'm done with y'all. Somebody's going to walk up to you, dude, let's talk about all of the benefits of baptism. I said, yeah, I did that with my donut this morning. You did what? I baptized my donut, dunked her in the coffee. What? That's blasphemy. Yeah. Well, the other day I was in the bathroom and I circumcised my hair. You did what? Yeah, I cut my hair. You're such a blasphemer. No, I know Greek better than you. Amen. That's what a surgeon does. Now, think about the great physician, the great surgeon, in application with your heart. Those of you that have issues with that one dark place, that one bad memory, that one area of your heart that you just think it's just going to kind of stay. You got a great physician that wants to get in there with a scalpel and circumcise. This is really, really important that we understand this. Having your heart circumcised means that stuff doesn't come back. It's been detached. It's been detached. Remember when I preached about sin and in Hebrews chapter, I think it's Hebrews chapter 8, 9, 10, and 8, 9, and 10, where it talks about your sins, God will remember no more. And it talks about it in Acts chapter 3, that you're in 3:19, where it talks about your sins being obliterated. Remember that one? Obliterated. God obliterates your sin. That's what happens after he circumcises it off your heart. You know, he doesn't go into your heart with a stick of dynamite and say, okay, where's the sin? Boom. Oh, that was a mess. Amen. That was the joke. I had a friend that was in the military, and he was in explosives. And they said that the joke in the military was, if you wanted something fixed, then you called the Air Force to come in and fix it because they were smart. If you wanted something broke, then you called in the demolition team to come blow it up. and don't call the wrong person. It was important. You called the wrong person, you got the wrong result. God doesn't walk in your heart and say, okay, well, it's a mess in here. Honey, get to C4. No. He comes in, and he's gentle. He's a surgeon. He comes in and say, all right, let's trim this off. Let's trim this off. Let's get rid of this. Oh, that's horrible. Let's burn that one in the pits of hell. And then when he gets all that trimmed off, he goes and obliterates it. And your heart is undamaged. Amen. God doesn't come in there and, you know, if you ever pull something out by its roots, sometimes you can hurt the stuff around it. You know what I'm talking about? We've all done that, where you go in there and you're just kind of rambunctious and you'll make a mistake by pulling something good out that you shouldn't have been pulling out, usually in gardening. You pull it, get in there pulling big weeds out, and you end up pulling up your crop. Oh! And then if your wife ain't looking, you put it back in there and hope it don't die. And then she's wondering, I wonder why my corn didn't come up. No, I did not do that. I'm just saying that I don't know why the corn didn't come up last year. We got a little garden. Amen. So Acts chapter 7, this is Stephen preaching. Verse 51, he just got done preaching a very, very eloquent sermon that talked about how the Jewish people, the religious people, and I want to put this in today's vernacular, in today's context, the religious people of his day had repetitively rejected the good news of God, the deliverance of God, because it was a whole lot easier living by their religious traditions. All right? Is this ringing a bell with anybody? It was a whole lot easier living religious traditions than to change themselves and accept the goodness of God. Because religious traditions are a whole lot easier to do when you're on autopilot. Amen. And so Stephen was preaching a sermon saying, you know what? You had Abraham that came, he was a nobody that came from nowhere. And God goes and talks to him and he establishes a relationship with him that ends up with a covenant. So what do? You reject him. So then Joseph comes along. And he's a guy that has an intimate relationship with the Lord. And his daddy loves him. And the Lord gives him great dreams and visions about how he's going to protect his family and protect the bloodline of God. And then what do? They try to kill him. They throw him in a hole. And they sell him off into slavery. But he rises up. And he ends up fulfilling what he was called to do. And then you have Moses that comes along. God groomed him perfectly to be the deliverer. And he comes out and reveals himself to you. And you guys reject him. And so he runs off into the desert for 40 years. You do always reject the moves of the Spirit. And that's where Stephen says here in Acts 7:51. It says that you do always, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist. Resist. You do always resist. You can get to the point to where you're so stiff-necked, you're so rigid, and you're so uncircumcised where things are attached to your heart that shouldn't be there, that you can resist the Holy Spirit. Now, he was talking to people that were about to martyr him. So he wasn't preaching at a church with a bunch of born-again Christians like I am. And so I am not in any way lambasting anybody in here like you're stiff-necked or uncircumcised in heart. I believe that you guys are not. It's a Saturday night, 8 o'clock at night. Y'all are sitting in a church. You're either a nut or you were thrown in here by a nut. Amen. Praise God. That's good stuff. Praise God. You are not stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, but what I'm telling you is that you have to see the principle that's at work here. Religion does that. Religion will stiffen up your neck and will reattach things to your heart that were once cut away. Have you ever heard anybody's testimony say, you know, 20 years ago, God set me free from such and such and so and so? Oh, amen. Praise God. Praise God. How's it going now? Well, you know, about 5 years ago, I started doing it again. What? What? How does that work? Well, I don't know. It just kind of snuck up on me. It was uncircumcised. It got reattached. We got stiff in our necks, and things reattached themselves to our heart. Protect your heart with all diligence. Allow the Lord to circumcise the heart and to cut those things out and be obliterated. Don't go back to that. Don't go back and keep eating that same stuff. All right, I want to skip to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. This is how you walk this out. I was going to talk about how we are the real Jews, because we're the ones that are circumcised in heart instead of in flesh. But I just said it, so you'll have to get the tape. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him, talking about Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Y'all get that? What it's saying is that Jesus Christ, in His body, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fully and completely. He didn't lack any of God. He was full of God in all three ways. Praise God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Jesus Christ. Who's in you? Who lives in your heart? The fullness of the Godhead. Praise God. All right, the next one, Craig. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Where are you complete? Those of you that struggle with being incomplete in areas of your life, it's because you are not putting those areas of your life in Him. Well, you know, I mean, I've always taken care of me. I'm the one that's always financially provided for my family, and so therefore I need to financially provide for my family. Okay, well then you are probably incomplete in finances. You can be complete in Him in finances if you put them in Him and allow in Him to be where your finances come from. If you are the source of your finances, all right, have fun with that. We're, you know, they're talking about our recession and all the bad things and unemployment and Illinois tax laws and yada, blah, 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 blah. Amen. Or you can say, hey, praise God for Jesus. I'll be complete in Him. And ye are complete in Him. And you know it doesn't say that ye will be complete in Him? You could be. You might be. If you struggle real, real, real hard. If you believe really good. If you get your faith way up high. If you get your hoper hoping. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Remember, He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily as well. You are complete in Him. Again, you're not fighting from a position of something that you're trying to obtain. You should be fighting from a position of something that you own that's trying to be stolen from you. Your completeness is something that you already have. Don't let someone or something steal that from you. You're way more important than that. You're way more important. God wants your heart complete. He wants you perfect. You are complete in Him. And the next verse, in whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, in whom ye are circumcised. All of you in here have had your hearts cut out. God cut around your hearts. Anybody ever wonder where the wedding ring thing came from? There's like a million little things out there where the wedding ring came from. You know what the wedding ring is? The wedding ring is a representation of a covenant process that took place many, many thousands of years ago. What they used to do before they could figure out how to make circle of gold is when people got married, they would come and they would declare a covenant promise. And they would declare blessings and would declare curses over each other. I'm cursed if I ever leave you. I'm cursed if I cheat on you. I'm cursed if I don't take care of you. But I'm blessed if I do love you the way that I should love you. I'm blessed if I take care of you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. They declare the curses and the blessings of the covenant. Does this sound familiar? Deuteronomy 28, Tim alluded to it. The blessing and the curses of the law. There was blessing and curses in the marriage covenant. And then after they declared the blessings and the curses over each other, they would come and they would circumcise their fingers, their ring fingers. They would cut a circle around their ring finger. And they would put their two ring fingers together and they would say, you are now flesh of my flesh. You're blood of my blood. We're one. And they would bleed blood into each other. And then they would take a cloth and they would put dirt or some kind of other irritant in there and they would wrap it around that wound and basically make it fester. And after a few weeks or a few months or whatever, they'd take the wrap off and they would have a perfectly round, raised scar on their finger. And everybody for the rest of their life knows that they are in covenant with someone. Guess what you couldn't do? You couldn't take that one off. You couldn't go to a bar and go cheating on your girl. It was on you. That's the covenant. That's the circumcision not made with rings, with jewelry. This is what he's talking about. There's a circumcision not made with human hands. There's a circumcision on your heart. You know, when you walk into places, immediately, I've had this happen with animals, I've had this happen in darkened places, immediately the spiritual powers and principalities of those places recognize who's in the room. Who's in the room? I used to jog, and there was dogs. You know, joggers and dogs, there are stories forever about joggers and dogs. I used to do that. Anyway, I'd go, and there's this one dog on this one corner all the time. It always give me fits. And I used to carry an asp. Anybody know what an asp is? It's like a long baton, and you could sling it out, and it has a little ball on the end. Well, I'd carry an asp with me just for that dog. But one day, I was out jogging, and I forgot to bring my asp. And the dog wanted to play. And so I just had enough. And I turned around, that dog was coming after me, and it was a Rotter, one of those dogs that was famous for, you know, when you just look at them and they make you, like, the hair on the back of your neck stand up, like, ooh, it's a meanie. And he came out after me, and I was running. I'm like, I am not going to outrun a dog. I'm Steve. And I'm just like, you know what? This might cost me something, but I am done with a stupid dog. And I'm tired of carrying an asp, and I'm tired of going through all these things and cutting corners and going around a different block and all that. And I turned around, that dog was coming. I turned around and I said, come on, get some! And I went right at him, and that dog said, whoop! He stopped, like dead short. And I was serious. I was mad. And I went after that guy, and I got about from here to the wall from him. And I was at a dead run, and he kind of seen me coming. He did one of those little head tilt things. He turned around, and he, pooh! I said, come here! I was screaming. I could imagine somebody probably would have seen that taking place. I used to jog at night, like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, because in Dallas it's hot. You know, so it'd be like 95 degrees till at 9 o'clock at night. And so I can just imagine somebody sitting on their back porch, you know, having a cup of coffee before they go to bed and seeing me chasing some dog. Come here, I'm going to scream you alive. I'm going to break your neck. Say, that guy has lost his mind. What block does he live on? Well, honey, we got to move. The crazies are getting closer. But I just had enough. You know, and to this day, I can walk into places and I know who's with me. I know who's in me. I know who's going there with me. And I actually, there are animals that I know that when I walk into rooms, they're kind of like, hey, what's going on, buddy? That's right. You stay there. I'll stay here. Everything's cool. You don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. So we used to say when we were kids. Don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. But I don't even have to say it. I mean, you can recognize who you are in the spirit. The spirit world recognizes who you are. And those times, sometimes when you walk into places and you think, oh, Lord, the devil's going to be in here. He's going to get me. Okay, maybe.